Well, good morning, everybody, again. It's great to be with you. And I just want to say, I do not take this for granted, you know. This is always a real privilege to preach anywhere, to open the scriptures. But I tell you what, ever since the start of our journey with Springs Church, Himley Road has been an amazing source of encouragement to us. So thank you for your love and your prayers. You're brilliant. And I can't remember how to turn that on. Let's give it a whirl. I think that's it. Yeah, we've got a blue light. Look at that. There it is. Well, good morning. I can't believe you've got me on a day where I've got to compete for your attention with the Wolves and Albion. So hopefully, I'll keep your interest for a little while. So what's in a name? You now know me as Pete Wright, but what you may not know about me is to a select group of students about 10 years ago, my nickname was Thor, God of Thunder. Yeah, that impressive, isn't it? Marvel God of Thor. The reason was this one time I had a free period. I used to be a teacher, a full-time history teacher, and I had a free period, and I was at an empty classroom. And next door, I could hear my friend Zoe having a really difficult time with a class of Year 10s, really naughty lads, right? And I'd just finished a cup of tea in an oversized, large mug, right, quite a heavy mug. And so my mug was empty, and I thought, I ain't got time to deal with this lot. I ain't got time to explain and talk and try and coax them to behave for my friend teaching next door. So I picked up my mug, and I went next door, and there was an empty table at the front of the class, and I just went, bosh, on the table, and there was this echo in the classroom, and all these Year 10 boys just went, ah! Like this, and kind of like, just stunned silence. And I said, no more. And I walked out, and I carried on, and they behaved. Well, fast forward about 10 years, I'm getting my hair cut at the barber's in Gornal, right? And I sit down, and it's a lad that's never cut my hair before. And I don't ordinarily go to that particular barber's, but I sit down, and this guy just goes, "You all right, Thor?" And I went, "What?" I said, "You what?" He says, "Thor?" I said, "Mate, I've no idea what you're talking about." And he said, "I used to go to Ormiston Forge Academy, and I was in Year 10 this one time, and we were playing up for a miss, and you came in, and you whacked your cup on the table, and you just, like, we were so scared, we didn't mess for her ever again." And I was like, "Right, okay, well, where's the, well, that cup, we just called your cup Thor's hammer." So, unbeknownst to me, I wish I'd known at the time, but I had a really cool nickname that I did not have a clue about. How funny is that? I don't encourage teachers to lamp cups off tables. It probably would get you sacked these days. But anyway, so why am I saying that? It's because names distinguish us from the crowd, don't they? They give us an impression of somebody. When you hear the name Pete Wright, you may have a good feeling when you hear my name, or a really bad feeling, like, I don't like that guy, I hate his beard, right? But the name that someone has goes before the person, doesn't it? And what we find in Scripture is yes, God has a name, God, but what we discover is he's not just known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but throughout Scripture, we discover that God has many different names that reveal different aspects of his character and his ability. Is that good news? So from Ben, I believe you've heard that God is a healer, Jehovah Rapha. And then from Lindsay, was it Jehovah Ra last week? The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, well, this week, the name for God that we're going to look at is the name Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Just have a go at that. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Now, in order to understand this name for God, we've got to go to the context. Where was it first used in the scriptures? How can we understand this name for God? Before I talk about the Nissi bit, did you know the word Jehovah means this? It means the ever-existing one who reveals himself. That's cool, isn't it? The name for God, Jehovah, the ever-existing one who reveals himself. And today, he reveals himself as Jehovah Nissi. So this is how the story goes. Exodus chapter 17. There's a God called Moses, as I'm sure you've heard. And if you haven't heard of Moses, Moses is a liberator of a whole nation of people called the Israelites. A few chapters earlier, Moses has been used by God in a miraculous way to free at least 600,000 Israelite slaves out of Egypt, and is now leading them to a place, to a land that God had promised this 600,000 people would become their home, not just for them, but for all the generations to come. And so what happens is this: Moses is leading this over 500,000 people through this vast deserty wilderness. And he ends up coming to a place called Rephidim. Rephidim. And the word Rephidim, this place that they ended up, means rest. Now, they've had a pretty arduous couple of weeks. They've just got 600,000 people out of slavery, and now they're journeying towards the land that God has promised them, and it has been tough. They're walking through a hot, dusty, arid wilderness. And we find in Exodus 17 that all these people start to get really annoyed with Moses because they are thirsty and their water's running out. And so the same God who just parted the Red Sea for people to escape slavery in Egypt says to Moses, take that stick you've got, that staff, go over to that rock at a place called Horeb. Great names, isn't they, in the Bible? And whack that rock and water will come out of it. And so Moses does as God commands. Why wouldn't you? You've seen him do a few things, so you're going to trust him again. He whacks the rock and the water comes out and the people are nourished. They're refreshed. There's water where there was no water. So they're in this place called Rephidim and it's looking good, right? They've now got refreshing in a barren land. But there's a tribe called the Amalekites just down the road. And they hate the Israelite people. They hate the Hebrew people. And they've been waiting for generations to have a crack at them. At the moment this newly free people find a place of rest, the enemy attacks them at the first opportunity it has. The Amalekites come out and they start to attack these 600,000 people. And so Moses is a confident guy, but by now Moses is 80 years old and he's got a fighting spirit, but his body is not capable of going to battle. And so he calls for Joshua. Have you heard of Joshua? Joshua was Moses' prodigy. He would later become the leader of this nation. And he says to this younger guy, Joshua, he says, take some men, take some fighting men and go and fight the Amalekites. This rest that we have right now, this water of refreshment we have right now, it ain't going to come cheap. We're going to have to fight to stay in a place called rest. And so, husbands and brothers and sons are picked by Joseph. Now, you've got to remember that these people, they have no military experience whatsoever. They were slaves just a few weeks ago doing subservient manual labor for harsh taskmasters. They are not military-minded. They don't know how to fight. And yet, Joshua picks a bunch of blokes, and they go down and they fight the Amalekites. An interesting thing happens in this story. Moses cannot fight. But it doesn't mean he won't get stuck in. And so what he does is he does what he does best and he goes to be where God is. He goes to praise. He goes to worship. He goes to pray. So while the men are down in the valley fighting very physically, Moses goes with his two closest mates, Aaron and Hur. And they go to the top of the hillside and they can see the battle. And the miracle of this story is, as long as Moses is able to keep his hands raised high in prayer and praise to the God of heaven, his men are winning the battle. But if his arms fall down, they begin to lose the battle. And in this place of rest, now on this hillside, Moses, this elderly gentleman, faithful man of God, is holding his hands high with all of his strength, but he starts to get tired like anyone would. And his friends, they get him a rock. And in the middle of this scene, there is rest for Moses in the middle of the battle. They get a rock and they place Moses on it. He sits on this rock. And now he has rest in the middle of this battle in a place called rest, Rephidim. And his mates are so good to him. And they recognize what's happening here, that every time Moses' arms go down, they start to lose the battle. And so Aaron takes one arm. And Hur takes the other, and they hold up this old man's weary arms until the battle is won, and they beat the Amalekites. What an incredible, incredible story. The scripture says this, 17 verse 11. There it is. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And so they end up winning the battle. Peace is restored. Hope is restored. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. I think a little while in the second or so. My clicker doesn't seem to want to work, I'm afraid. Maybe it does. There we go. So this is what happens. They win the victory. And instead of just going back and having a sleep in their tents and coming back down the hill and walking back up from the valley, Moses decides to do this. He builds an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. This is where we get this name from for God. This battle has just happened, and Moses builds an altar. He builds a platform, and he builds a place for sacrifice and worship and calls it Jehovah Nissi. Can I encourage you today, whenever you experience any victory that God gives you, whether little or small, before you just move on with your life, before I just move on with, let's pause and celebrate the victories that the Lord brings about in our lives. Can we do that? There's something powerful when we pause to give God praise when we experience a victory. Moses calls this place of praise Jehovah Nissi. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you may well know what Jehovah Nissi means. It means this: the Lord is my banner. Did you know that this morning? Oh, he never told you. The Lord is my banner. I'm going to have a word. The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. What is so special about that? What a strange thing. The Lord is my banner. Well, we know what banners are. Banners tend to be flags, or they tend to be symbols or signs. And in ancient times, when armies met each other on the battlefield, they would have their own battle standards, their own banners with their own sides, insignia and symbols on it. And if, as long as your banner was held high, you knew that your army was still in the fight. Does that make sense? If your banner disappeared, it means the banner holder had been slain and your confidence drops and you start to think about retreat. But as long as your banner for your army is stuck in the ground or being marched forward, you know there's still hope and you can still have confidence. We're still in the fight. Is that good news today? So here we go, Jehovah Nissi. Joshua didn't take a physical banner into the battle that day, but Moses held his hands high as a sign that we are in this fight as long as we worship the Lord, as long as we know that he is in this with us. So here is the Lord, our banner. What's Moses saying when he calls this place Jehovah Nissi? He's saying, God, you are my confidence. He's saying, using this name, Jehovah Nissi, God, you are my hope. God, you are my courage. God, you are my victory. This was the first battle that the Israelites ever had outside of slavery. And in their first throes of freedom, they're up for a fight. And God delivers them miraculously. And Jehovah Nissi is his name. So Israel, from this day and forever, remember that as long as the Lord is your banner, you can have confidence, you can have hope, you can be sure that you will win the day. Is that good news this morning, church? So how could this resonate with our stories, with our lives today? Well, I don't know how old you are, I don't know what life's been like for you, but all of us know that life is punctuated by battles, is it not? Punctuated by it. Just when we come to a place of rest in our lives, a battle comes along. Have you experienced that? We have physical battles and health battles, and we have social battles and family battles and political battles. And I don't know about you, but what I need in my life, and perhaps what you need is yours, is a banner of hope that will never fall. Despite the things we will face in our lives, is there a confidence? Is there a hope that will always give us hope? Come on, his name's Jesus. See, the Bible doesn't cotton wool us up. It says that when somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ, we become aware of the battle that we are now a part of. The scriptures say that there is an enemy of our souls who prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour those that he wants to. See, when we choose to follow Jesus, we find everlasting, true rest for our souls. And at the same time, there is an enemy at work who wants to ruin that rest. Does that make sense this morning? When we step into the peace that God gives us, we enter into war with God's enemy. This is a battle that God himself equips us to fight and win and overcome. Thank you, Lord. I think scripture might come up on the slide. I think we're on about slide 6 now, I think. If you can help me out there, mate. One more. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 to 11, it says this. It's a very famous scripture. It says, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. Can you just poke your neighbor and just say, he cares for you? He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety. In other words, throw it on him. God, I don't want this. Oh, he cares for you. He'll take it. But then Peter says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. How can we stand firm? Because the Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. This is how the Message version of, or the Message, paraphrase of the scripture says it. It says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. The Amalekites thought they'd caught the Israelites napping. Do you remember the story? Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. So church, how are we encouraged this morning? Because of the truth that God is Jehovah Nissi. We're encouraged. On the battlefield of my heart, my banner is Jesus. On the battlefield of my mind, my banner is Jesus. On the battlefield of my eternity, my banner is Jesus, Jehovah Nissi. Amazingly, Moses found rest in the battle. In the middle of the battle where the fighting was happening, he was provided with rest. And if you're facing a battle this morning, I want to encourage you that in the middle of the battle, you can have the peace of God. Is that good news today? In the battle, Moses was aided by his friends. It's good to be in church today, amen? This is a great church, by the way. You do know that, don't you? It's good to have friends in the Lord who will encourage us and stand beside us, not just pity us and not encourage us, but are able to say, don't you forget who God is. Don't you forget what he did for you before. Do you remember how he healed so-and-so? He can do that for you too. We need our friends in the battle. So if you're in the middle of a battle this morning, stop running away and isolating yourself. Run to your friends and your family in God and be strengthened. Amen. Moses was too weak to be effective in a physical battle, but he was able to climb a hill to gain a higher perspective and reach out to God during the battle. And so, my friends, today we are able, in the middle of the battle, to gain a higher perspective so that we understand the fight that we're in and just how God might bring us through. There's been a few times in my life when I've experienced God as Jehovah Nissi. And my life has reflected somewhat Moses' experience. When I was 17 years old, I went to sleep one night. And I was falling asleep, but I know I wasn't asleep. And I suddenly found myself having a very profound vision. And I hadn't eaten too much cheese. Wasn't into it at 17. And I knew I wasn't asleep, but I also didn't feel awake. I felt like I was in a different place. That's the only way I can describe it. And in this vision, I could hear a battle. I could hear clanging of swords and shields. And I could hear screams and nastiness. And It was a battle going on, and I suddenly heard the Lord, well, I now believe it was the Lord, but I suddenly heard a voice say, "Pete, speak in tongues." And I'd never spoken in tongues before. I'd never had the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues before. But in this vision, I started to speak in the gift of tongues, and it was amazing. I couldn't believe it was happening, and it was all happening in this vision. And I wasn't awake and I wasn't asleep. What was going on? I don't really know. But as I started to pray and cry out to God, I heard a huge scream, so deafening and so terrifying. And I knew it was the screams of the enemies of God. And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about spiritual things. And I heard this scream, and suddenly I just saw this rush of the angel armies of God charge down the enemy. And it was amazing. It was a very real vision that I'd had, and it gave me confidence that when I reach out to God in faith, when I pray, the enemy will be defeated. And then maybe a more tangible one that maybe some of you might relate to. I don't know if you've ever suffered with anxiety attacks. I actually never have, except on one occasion. The night before we started some prayer meetings, before we started Springs Church, I found myself so nervous about what we were doing. I became so anxious that I was physically shaking. I remember driving back from my dad's house on Lawnswood Road in Gornal to Summer Lane, just over the road up here. It's like a 3-minute journey in the car, if that. And I was so nervous because I knew if we start this church, there's no going back, Pete. What are you doing? What are you getting your family involved in? What are you doing with your kids? Are you mad? Like, everything's safe at the church you're at. Why would you do this? And I was shaking, genuinely shaking with kind of anxiety. And when I pulled up outside my house, I actually crashed into my neighbour's car. That's how much I was shaking. I got out of the car, and I'll give it a right old thump. And I never told my neighbour, because I never had to, thank God. I got out, and there wasn't a scratch on my car or his. And I thought, blooming out, Lord, how have you saved me from having to explain to my neighbour I've just bashed his car up because I'm scared about a prayer meeting? My friends that night, I called John Rowe, you know John Rowe. I called another guy as well, and I was like, guys, are we doing the right thing? Should we be doing this? And they encouraged me in the Lord. Jehovah Nissi, lift him high. Remember, he's your banner. You will overcome. How is this name for God, Jehovah Nissi, reflected in the life of Jesus? Are you still with me this morning, church? We're 2 minutes into Wolves Albion. I'm nearly finished. I'm doing all right, ain't I? I can see a few people, prayerful faces. So how is Jesus reflected in the New Testament? Jehovah Nissi. In John chapter 3, verse 14 to 16, if you can help me out, Mr. Cartwright. Jesus says this, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, that's the one, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jehovah Nissi, God, my banner. On the battlefield of my life, thank God, on the battlefield of our salvation, Jesus Christ lifted up. How is he lifted up? He was raised upon a cross. And then Jesus, again, he says himself in chapter 12, verse 32, he said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. You see, Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Do you know that? He is Jehovah Nissi. Jesus is our banner. He is our confidence. He is our hope. He's lifted high on the cross of Calvary. His crucifixion waged war on sin and death and defeated Satan's grip on anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Is that good news today? The day Jesus died, Satan thought he destroyed our banner, but he was lifted up out of the grave. Our banner, Jehovah Nissi, resurrection life, victory is yours and mine. Wow. Wow. So what comfort do we gain from this morning? Joshua, next screen, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God now speaking to Joshua when he takes over the leading of Israel. He says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you, mate? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Does someone need to hear that this morning? Be strong and courageous, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Whether that's from up north and you're visiting, or Mexico and you're visiting. He's with you wherever you go. What courage can we have today? Romans 8, 31 and 37. It says, if God is for us, hello church, who can be against us? Nah, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You dear children, he's speaking about you. You dear children are from God and have overcome the world, because the one who is in you is greater than the enemy who is in the world. Is that good news today? Himley Row Methodist Church knows who their banner is. Himley Row Methodist Church has a constant hope, a constant confidence, because the banner of our lives was down, but he raised to life, and he's going nowhere, and we can be full of faith every moment of our lives. What confidence can we have this morning? Our victory is already won. Sin does not hold us back from God. Death does not hold onto our lives anymore. Victory is already won when we hold Jesus high in our lives, and his victory is at the forefront of our faith. We're unstoppable. Hallelujah. In life, we fight battles from a place of victory and not defeat. In life, we fight battles from a place of victory and not defeat. We don't go into a fight with no chance of winning. We go into every fight in our lives with every chance of winning, because he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. So what does God want us to know this morning? When you're strong in life, I am there. When you feel weak in your life, look up. I am your banner. Lift up your head. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and remember that he is with you. Always be filled with hope. Be filled with courage. Be renewed with confidence that you are not alone. Be strong and courageous. I, the Lord, go ahead of you, he says. How does this truth increase hope, enlarge our faith, and equip us for tomorrow as well as today? The scripture says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. Christian, you are not the conqueror. Jesus is the conqueror. He has already won the victory. We get to live in the wake of the freedom he has won for us. I've got a friend who's a wakeboarder. Do you know what a wakeboarder is? You get a speedboat, you tie a rope to the back of it, and you've got someone on like a snowboard but on water. All right, it's like a skateboard on water. And as the speedboat flies forward, the wakeboarder rides the waves that are created by the speedboat as it plows through the water. He was a champion wakeboarder. Turns out you can do flips and all sorts on the sea. Jesus is our victory. He goes ahead of us, and we get to surf life on the wake of what he has done for us. Is that good news today? You might be in church this morning and you're a bit confused as to why you're here. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you feel drawn just simply to be here. Maybe you've been here for a long time and you've been coming week after week after week. But this morning the Holy Spirit seems to be speaking to your heart really heavily, and you have a sense of, I need the banner of God, Jesus Christ, in my life. I want the hope and the confidence that comes from God. I want to encourage you today that his love for you is unquenchable. His kindness and his compassion towards you. He knows everything you've done, everything you've been through, and he wants to say, hey, you want to be friends? I am ready to forgive every sin you have ever committed, and I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you in a way that you never imagined. So could we just pray for a second for anyone in the room? that's in that place. They want to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Church, I'll say a line and then I'll ask you to repeat it out loud just to make it easier for people to pray if they would like to. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, you are my banner. You are the victory of God. I hear that you love me and that you won my salvation and are waiting for me to ask you into my life. So here it is, God. Come into my heart and life. Be my Lord and Savior. I ask your Holy Spirit to make a home in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I think there might be one last slide, Craig. There it is. A prayer of hope. I just wonder whether we could say this prayer of hope together this morning as we finish. It says, Father God, I have heard today that you are Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Only you can give me hope that cannot fail. You can provide my life with sure victory. In every battle of every type, in every season, I can look to you. I remember today that before I ever knew you, you knew me. Long ago, you had already provided for my victory and freedom. Jesus, thank you that as I put my faith in you, the enemy's grip on me is no more. Jesus, I put my faith in you, my banner. I submit to your love and truth. I ask you to be with me and by your Spirit, be within me. Thank you for new confidence, strength, and hope in the light of your presence. Holy Spirit of God, I want to live in step with you, being transformed for your glory, walking in the grace of God. Let your power work in me and through me. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.